I'd just like to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. I always talk about therapy with you guys, and therapy has helped me tremendously in my own life. But when you're going through anxiety, it can be very intimidating to go and see somebody face to face. Not to mention the fact that therapy can be quite pricey. So BetterHelp offers a team of online qualified therapists at a much more affordable price than traditional therapy. During the worst of my anxiety, I was actually not going nearly as often as I would have liked to just because I could not afford it. BetterHelp really takes into account your personal experience and what you're going through and what you're looking for. So you actually complete a survey first that helps to personalize your experience and the therapist that they match you up with. If you don't get along with the therapist or it's just not a good match, then it's easy to just switch to another one. If you'd like to get started and you'd like to go and complete the survey, go to betterhelp.com/tamarin and I'll also include the link in the caption for you. BetterHelp offers video, phone, and text chat, and you can decide on whichever one feels most comfortable for you. When you use my link, you will also save 10% on your first month. Hello, and no, you're not imagining it. We are actually sitting down together, and I am recording a new episode after taking a very long time once again, because if you listen to my podcast and if you're really on top of, like, as soon as a new episode comes out, you're sitting down to have a listen, then I am embarrassed, because one thing that I've said throughout this year is every single time I sit down and record a podcast, like a new episode, I'm saying, this time I want to be consistent with it. I want to bring out an episode once a week, and then I will maybe stick to it for a couple weeks and then I fall completely off it again. It's something that I just have not been consistent with, and I want to apologize. You guys are like always so kind and tell me it's fine, it doesn't matter, record them when you can. But I know you guys are eager for new episodes. I get, honestly, the podcast is one platform that seems to be one of the more popular ones, like, with you guys. Like, I've had so many messages asking me, and again, like, you guys are so kind, like, you know, will you be doing a new episode soon? And I always feel so bad because I've promised you guys and I just haven't done it. So anyway, enough of that rambly intro. The point is that I'm here now, we are here together, and my goal was, I was like, I'm not going to let 2024 roll around and I haven't even recorded one last episode, kind of just wrapping up this past year. So it's Saturday today, it's the 30th of December. I cannot believe that this year is almost over. I'm actually really grateful that it is, to be honest with you, and I'm going to get into that in a second. But that was my goal. My goal was to sit down, record one last episode before a new year, a fresh slate, like just a new blank canvas ahead of us. So here we are. Now, I just want to start by saying that I do not have a plan for this episode. There are a few things that I wanted to just have a chat with you guys about. I always have something, there's always something that I would like to talk about. But this is not, and I feel like the past few episodes have been this way as well. There's nothing specific here. It's not like, oh, this is going to be an episode on this specific symptom, or about panic attacks or whatever the case is. This is just going to be a mishmash of just random stuff. Just kind of, you know, updating you guys on things that I've been doing, how my year has been, I will be talking about some anxiety symptoms because there are some things that I want to touch on, but there's no specific order to this episode. I just want to start by saying that you guys know that I am the queen of just rambling about freaking anything and everything, and that's going to happen here. Like, it's a warning. But I wanted to sit down and have a chat, and I didn't, this is the thing that I do. So if I can't decide on exactly what I want to talk about,
then I end up not talking about anything at all. And then what happens is you don't get an episode. I feel like maybe you can relate to this if you think about your life, right? Sometimes we have so many things to do and we can't decide where to begin, and then we feel overwhelmed and then we end up doing nothing. Like, does that sound familiar to you? I've been in therapy on and off through the years, and as you guys know, I've been diagnosed with GAD, which is generalized anxiety disorder. I've been diagnosed with panic disorder, depression, but there are other things that have been mentioned to me in therapy, but I haven't had an official diagnosis for them. So it would have been, because when I was in therapy, I was seeing a psychotherapist, and they can't officially diagnose you. You have to go to a doctor or a psychiatrist. But just based on what they saw with me, and just based on, you know, my symptoms and questions that they would ask me, they would sometimes say like, oh, it seems like you may have this, or you do have signs of this. So ADHD is something that I'm pretty sure that was brought up before, which can it manifests in different ways for everybody, but basically like your mind is just always like, you get overwhelmed, there's just so much going on. And for me, one part of ADHD that I know some people relate to is that you get so overwhelmed that you just shut down and do nothing. You basically feel like you're just paralyzed, and it's something that I've been frustrated with. What am I even saying right now? It's something that in my own life I have been annoyed with myself about many times over the years, because sometimes I find it really, really difficult to just do things, like, or just get going with things. It will take me a really long time to just do something, because in my mind, if I look at something that needs to be done, for example, I'm going to give you an example, my passport. I need to get my passport. And it's something that I've wanted to do for the past like 3 years now, okay? And I will start the process. And this is embarrassing to admit. And if you are not this way, you will not understand, and you'll probably think that it's ridiculous. And I totally get that. Or maybe if you're a Virgo, because Virgos are, just all the Virgos that I've known are very, very organized and meticulous with how they do things. So it's not, you will not understand this, but it, like, I would start the process and then I'll realize all the other steps that are involved, because like with the passport, I have to get friends to sign forms, and like they're not in my city where I live, so I have to be sending forms away, and it's a whole thing. And it's not actually that bad, but in my, the way that my brain works is like, well, that's a lot of steps. And then I'll start it, and then it seems too much and overwhelming, so I put it aside, which is the worst thing. Like, I see it right there. Like, I have an envelope right here in my room with my documents and shit in there. And I mean, I had pictures taken that are now expired because I left it too long, so I have to go back and do it again. Anyway, the point is, like, I would love to know if anyone else relates to this, where something seems too overwhelming, so you just don't do it. And my whole point, going back now, in regards to the podcast, is if I wasn't sure what to talk about and it felt too overwhelming deciding on a specific topic, I would tell myself, I'm just going to put it aside for a while. But when I say that I'm going to put something aside for a while, it means a good long while, or it means that I'm never going to get to it. So for me to do something, I just have to sit down and just start it. Like, I can't try to think beforehand of the steps that need to be done. I need to just sit down. So with this episode, and I realized that we're quite a few minutes in here and I have just been going on and on, but with this, you know, I told myself I want to record an episode before the end of the year. I had been sitting and trying to figure out what exactly I have to talk about, because in my head there has to be a very specific topic, which, I mean, it never happens like that, but I just tell myself that that's how it has to be each time. So I've just left it because I haven't been able to decide on anything, which is why I am sitting here right now with no specific plan in mind. But I've told myself that I am going to get comfortable. I'm in my bed right now. I have this little spot at the end of my bed where I can see out my window, and it's just like my comfort spot. I feel just really cozy here. I read here. I've written large portions of my books. If you have my books, I'm in this exact spot. So I told myself, you know what? You're gonna get your laptop. You're gonna freaking plug your mic in, and you're gonna sit in your spot, and you're just gonna start talking, and you're just gonna do it, and you're just gonna see what happens. So that's what I'm doing, and that's why I was warning you that I don't have a specific plan. I have points that I want to touch on. It's going to be an episode that is all over the place, but you guys have told me that you like that, so here we go. So how has, and I realize again that I always sit here and ask questions, and obviously you can't reply to me, but sometimes when I ask questions, it's kind of just me, it's encouraging you to kind of sit with yourself and reflect back on things too, and just kind of ask yourself these questions. Sometimes it can be really helpful to sit with ourselves and ask ourselves questions and just kind of see what comes up. So how has this year been for you? Like, how has 2023 been for you? And I'm laughing because I don't know if, and I shared something on my story about this. I don't know if this is just me, but this year has felt really damn long. Like, it feels like it feels like it's gone on forever. Like, I'm thinking back to last year this time, it feels like a freaking lifetime ago. And I'm genuinely curious, like, is that just me? Or do you feel like that as well? Or is it because, like, I feel like this was a very emotional year for me, and I feel like I've learned a lot this year. I feel like a lot of, you know, as humans, we're always learning and we're growing and we're evolving. Like, it's a continuous process. And I've spoken to people before, and we've had a chat about it and said, it's like, when does it end? Like, we just want a break. You know, we don't want to be growing all the time. We just want to enjoy life sometimes. And I think it comes down to learning how to navigate through life's challenges and be allowing yourself to grow while still enjoying your life and being very present in your life and where you're at. This year has been an emotional one, and I haven't allowed myself to just enjoy my life at the same time. I haven't known how to, you know, kind of separate that. I haven't known how to work through emotions while also allowing myself to enjoy my life, because a lot of the emotions this year have led to depression spirals for me. And when I'm in a depression spiral, which can last anywhere from a few days, even a day, honestly, it can last anywhere from a day to a few days to a few weeks. But the worst of it is usually within a week or two. But a lot of the emotion this year has led to depression spirals. And the minute I'm in a depression spiral, it's very hard for me to even attempt to be positive. And I always tell people, like, a lot of people, because I've been doing a lot of one-on-ones and having chats with you guys, and so many of you have a lot of awareness about your thinking patterns, which is the very first step, right? And a lot of you have said to me, I know I'm very negative. I know that I allow my thoughts to take over, but I don't know how to be positive. I don't know how to change that into positivity. And what I always tell people whenever they say that to me is, I say, you don't have to force yourself to be positive. That's not the point. That's not the goal. Just being aware of your thoughts and where they tend to go is the very first step. We're not trying to change a negative into a positive when we're in a bad place and when we're struggling. We need to sit with it, yes, but we need to acknowledge. We need to be in a place of acceptance. And that can be very difficult, because when you're in a bad place, you desperately want to get to a good place. You desperately want to get out of that to a place that feels better. But working through things means it requires really accepting where you're at in the bad moments before you're able to move forward. So if you find yourself frustrated with yourself because you think, I know I'm being negative and I know I have all these negative thinking patterns, but I can't be positive, I don't know how, try to change the narrative a little bit. You're not trying to be positive. That's not the goal. You don't have to be. Who are you trying to be positive for? Like, ask yourself that. Like, you don't need to be positive right now. You're going through something right now. You're struggling with something right now. Just allow yourself to sit with that and just acknowledge where you are and start to become aware of your thinking patterns. Often we can be very negative and we allow our thoughts to take over, but we don't even realize that we're doing it. It's the thoughts just come automatically and we don't even realize that we're doing it. Change starts to happen when we're able to catch it and we're able to observe what we're doing, if that makes sense. I feel like I need to make notes as I go, because I start talking about one thing, like I asked you how your year has been, then I dive into a whole whole thing, and then I get to a point where I'm like, wait, what was I talking about again? So how has your year been? Like, I'm asking you this. You may have had an amazing year, in which case I'm truly happy for you. Like, it makes me so happy when people tell me that they're doing well, or that they feel like they've grown, or they finally feel like they have a handle on their emotions and their anxiety or anything else that's going on. Or here's a big one. They are finally standing up for themselves. They're finally putting up boundaries that they've never done before. And so putting up boundaries, let's talk about this for a minute. I've spoken about this so much on Instagram, and whenever I do talk about this, I often get a lot of responses from you. So let's talk about it for a second. Putting up boundaries can be incredibly painful, because especially if you're anything like me, where you are a people pleaser, where you feel bad, like you feel bad, or you feel like you're a bad person for saying, no, I don't want to do that, or no, I don't like that, or I'm not going to put up with this behavior anymore. It's one thing to put up the boundary, it's another thing to keep the boundary up and to not feel guilty for putting up that boundary, right? And the reason that I'm bringing this up is because this can cause a lot of anxiety on its own, and it can be incredibly empowering, and it is incredibly empowering, but it can also be incredibly painful. So I think a big part of why the past couple years have been really painful and emotionally draining for me is because for the first time in my life, I have said, I don't like this, and I've put boundaries up with people, or I've let people go, which is, I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. But I think some of our greatest growth comes from learning how to stick up for ourselves. So if you've done that, or if you are currently learning how to stick up for yourself more and put up boundaries, I just want you to know that I'm really proud of you and that it doesn't make you a bad person. I have experienced so much guilt from doing this in the past, to the point where I make myself feel physically ill because I feel like such a bad person. I tell you guys, like, I feel like I can be annoying because I can be very vague about things because I try to keep my personal life really private. But a lot of the depression and a lot of the emotions that I've dealt with over the past year have been due to not being okay with certain things anymore, not putting up with certain behavior from people anymore, and letting people go. And like during the summer, I let somebody go in my life who was very important to me. Like, this person was extremely important to me, and it's somebody that I had developed a connection with over 2.5 years, and it was very difficult for me. Like, that, it was, like, I tell you guys, like, I'll go on my stories and I'll say, oh, I'm struggling with something right now, or I'm dealing with some depression, or I'm taking a step back, or whatever, and I don't really explain what it is. And I didn't even know that I was going to talk about this, to be honest with you. I was going to talk about something completely different, but I'm sitting down here. It's like with my newsletters that I send out once a week, and kind of just sit down and see what comes up. But a big part of why I have struggled this year, mentally, emotionally, even physically, and I have had some anxiety come up as well around all of this, because when we deal with a lot of emotions and when we struggle mentally, if we aren't managing that, it almost will always come out physically. Like, that's just how it works, right? Everything is connected. So a big part of why I struggled so much this year was due to the loss of a relationship that was really important to me. Walking away from somebody who was really important to me. And it's really, it is so hard to do that. It is so hard to say, you know what, like, I don't feel like this is serving me anymore. Like, I don't feel like this is good for me or for you, because it's always two people, right? It's you know, but that was a big part of why I struggled so much this year, to be honest, was the loss of somebody who was really important to me. And then, as if that, like, that was bad enough, but then it was the guilt, like, how horrible I felt. Like, I've spent a good portion of this year feeling really like a terrible person, or like a bad person, or questioning myself, or thinking that I'm you know, the one in the wrong. And I mean, I'm not perfect at all, and I've made lots of mistakes too, but the point is, like, walking away from people or putting up boundaries and keeping those boundaries in place can be very empowering, and it's very important and as part of your growth in your journey, but it can be incredibly painful. And I know that I'm not the only one. Like, I've had conversations on Instagram where I spend a lot of my time, obviously, with you guys, right, in our community. And, you know, we talk about anxiety a lot, and we talk about the physical symptoms and everything, but the anxiety is coming from somewhere, and our anxiety is due to many different things. It could be due to personal relationships. It could be due to the foods you're eating, or work stress, or money stress, or, you know, it's heavily in your family and you have the hereditary factors. Like, there's so many underlying causes. So, you know, I talk about symptoms all the time, but I don't, in my books, I do go deeper into the root causes, but on here and on my page, I guess we don't really talk about things like what I'm talking about right now, like how that can contribute to anxiety and like physical symptoms and things. So I wasn't planning on even talking about that, but that's what came out. And I know that when I record these episodes, there's always somebody who can, there's always at least one of you that can relate to my story or things that I'm sharing. And whenever I talk about certain things, I always hope that, you know, at least one of you will listen and be like, you know what, I really needed to hear that today, because then I feel like I've done, then I feel like I've achieved something or I've done something right. Okay, so jumping around a little bit, I feel like that was kind of heavy. And I just wanted to kind of like let you guys in on what's been causing me a lot of pain this year. And I'm definitely in a better place now. I have my moments for sure, but I would like to think that I am in a better place. I feel a lot stronger. I'm always amazed. And this isn't just me. I want you to think about yourself as well here when I'm talking. It's always amazing how much stronger we are than we realize. Because when you're in the midst of something or you're in a lot of like emotional pain, going through a lot of emotional turmoil, it's very easy to feel very, very weak. Like when you feel vulnerable, sometimes we take that as a sign of weakness, but it's absolutely not. But you know what I mean? Like that's just how we tend to feel. Or if we're crying a lot, or we struggling to hide our emotions, and we're just letting our emotions flow out of us. But being vulnerable and allowing yourself to feel your emotions is a very powerful and strong thing. And when you allow yourself to feel it and to work through it, you know, when you look back, like a few months down the line after really struggling with something, you can really look back and be like, fuck, like I did that, like I came through that. And at the time I didn't think I was going to. And that's with any situation that you may be struggling with. Like maybe you're sitting, because obviously if you listen to my podcast, I know like you probably deal with a lot of anxiety and symptoms, and it's draining, like the mental toll that takes, the emotional toll. And when you're in it, you feel flawed, you feel weak, you feel like there's something wrong with you, you feel like you're never going to be any other way, you don't feel strong, you feel like you just, you know what I mean, like you just don't feel strong, you feel vulnerable and exposed, and like you're never going to get to the other side. And then when things do start getting better, you're able to look back and be like, I look how far I've come. So I just want to remind you of your strength today as you're listening to this, or tonight as you're listening to this, wherever you are, or whenever you're listening. I just want to remind you of your strength. I want you to look back at things that you've overcome in your past and just think about how proud of yourself you were then, and you know, try to apply it to the situation that you're in now, and just remind yourself that you can do hard things, and that you are stronger than you know. Even if you don't feel it, you are. You are. Trust me. Trust me, you are. So let's talk about something happier, because I don't want this whole episode to be feeling very dark and heavy. It's going to kind of be up and down. But so going back to my passport, a big reason why I want my passport is because my brother moved to Texas. And so he actually got married, and he ended up meeting somebody who has just become the love of his life. and he up and moved to Texas to be with her. And I mean, it's just, it's like crazy. It's like just crazy to me how things can happen. And it's, I'm so happy for him because I know how happy he is. And we've reconnected. I don't know if, I sometimes forget like what I've told you guys about my family situation, but I had a very strained relationship with my parents and my brother too for many years, and we only reconnected this year. So my brother actually called me a few weeks ago, and we had an amazing conversation, and I just feel like I have my brother back, and I just, it makes me so happy, and it makes me so grateful. And now he's living in the States, and I really need to get my passport so that I can go and visit him and his family. So that's a big reason why I want my passport. Like, I've realized something recently with myself, is that I have been kind of in hermit mode for the past few years. I've just kind of been self-isolating. I would say that since the pandemic, and I know that a lot of people can relate to this, the pandemic happened and, you know, lockdown, and it was so strange and so weird. And I mean, who would have, like, if somebody had told us years ago that in the future there's going to be this pandemic, well, firstly, if you have health anxiety, it's a freaking nightmare, but we wouldn't have believed it. Like, it's just would have seemed completely surreal, right? Anyway, it happened, and I would say ever since the pandemic, I went through a lot of things. Went through a breakup after being in a relationship for 12 years, and obviously a lot of other things. And when I'm struggling, I'm very good at hiding that I'm struggling. But when I'm struggling, I tend to self-isolate, and I've been in hermit mode for a few years. And it's been really good for me in the sense that it's allowed me to just kind of be with myself. And I feel like I, for the first time at 35 years old, like, I have a better idea of myself. And I'm not fully there. Absolutely not. I have so much, like, just this month I've realized, oh my God, I have so much to learn still. Oh, I still have so much growth to do, but so much healing to do. But I honestly, like, I feel like I know myself better than I have ever known myself before. And I feel like I'm at a point now where I don't want to be in hermit mode anymore. And I felt like this for a little while now. Like, I don't want to self-isolate. I want to go out and meet people. I want to reconnect with my friends. I want to make new friends, and I want to get out, and I want to do things. And that feels really exciting for me. So getting my passport, and obviously I live in Canada, and I can obviously travel around Canada right now too, but getting my passport, I feel like it's going to just kind of open the world up for me a little bit more. And I'm going to start with going to see my brother, and that's something that I plan to do next year. And I say next year starts in 2 freaking days, but I'm saying this, like, I'm cautiously saying this, and if you have anxiety, you get it. Like, we're very cautious when we say, oh, I'm feeling really good right now. So I'm cautiously optimistic when I say that I am looking forward to 2024, and I have a good feeling about it. So I've also reconnected with my parents recently, which is pretty huge, because the last time that I had seen them was, and let me just think about this for a minute. I think it was the end of 2019. Yep, it was the end of 2019. How crazy is that? It was like a couple months before the pandemic. And then some things happened that I'm not going to go into, but we didn't speak for a few years. And then just this year, we reconnected again, and they came to visit me at the beginning of this month. And we had a really good conversation, and it was a really good visit. And I'm really happy with where things are right now. I think I've spent a lot of time in the past very angry about things. And I kind of just allowed my anger to just kind of fester, without really looking at things from different perspectives. And I've taken some time to just kind of sit with myself. And I've realized that I want my family in my life. And yeah, like I said, I'm happy with where things are right now. As I'm talking to you, I'm looking around my room. My room is a mess. My room is such a mess right now. I have clothes everywhere. I have books everywhere, and I blame my mom for this, and I mean that in a good way. My mom is a bookworm, and my mom got me into reading from a very young age. That's probably also why I have absolutely terrible vision, because I've been reading from a young child, and I think I needed glasses at, how old was I? 13 when I first needed glasses, and my eyes have just deteriorated since then. I've actually experienced health anxiety over my vision, even though like it's normal if you read a lot, or like you're nearsighted, and you have to obviously wear glasses to help you see far, because you always focusing on a book or like small print close up. But I've actually had health anxiety over my vision before, especially when I dealt with that blurry vision symptom, or like spots in my vision. It's a very common symptom of anxiety. And then I would think, oh well, my vision is so bad too, this must mean that I'm going blind or whatever. Like you know how it goes, like our health anxiety tells us the worst. But anyway, going back to the books that are all over my room right now, I don't have enough space on my book in my bookshelves, and I'm gonna need to buy another bookshelf. I bought a really book big a book I bought a really big bookshelf this year that I was like, that's definitely gonna handle all my books, but no, it doesn't. And I'm gonna have to get another bookshelf, because my mom brought me a whole bunch of books. I mean, we haven't seen each other in ages, and she reads more than I do. She actually reads more than I do, if that's possible. So she came here with a stack of books, and they books that I am honestly so excited to read. They books that I've been wanting to read. So I'm not even going to complain about the mess. Like, they're everywhere, but I am so grateful. So obviously I'm not going to, this is not a podcast episode about books. But I do, if you do like reading, or maybe you don't, but because honestly, like, even if you don't, there's just some books that I feel like everybody may enjoy. But if you do like reading and you're curious, there's three books, well, there's two books that I've read this year, and one that I'm currently reading that I feel like are my favorite books of the year. The first one is The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. I absolutely love that book, and it took me a long time to pick it up, because I had seen negative reviews about it, where people were saying it's boring or they didn't understand it. I absolutely loved that book. I know I love a book when I put it down and I'm still thinking about it, like for ages afterwards, but I absolutely fucking love that book. I've noticed that the books that I've been the most drawn to are ones that touch on loneliness or depression. Those are the ones that I've just seemed to have been drawn to, just being alone and isolation. So that book was amazing. I'm not going to go into what each book is about, because like I said, like if I'm going to talk about books, I'm going to start a whole new podcast. And in fact, like, let me know if that's a thing that you wanted, because I could go on forever about books. But I know a lot of you guys who listen do like reading, so I thought I would just add it in here. Why not? I'm talking about pretty much a whole bunch of random stuff right now, so I may as well. But I absolutely adored that book. And then another book that I read, I think last month, is My Year of Rest and Relaxation by, oh fuck, what's the, Otessa Marshfag? Is that how you say her name? Is that her name? I don't have the book with me, but I think that's it. That book as well, like, it took me a while to pick it up because I'd been wanting to read it, but I had seen a lot of negative reviews and people saying they don't understand it. But that made me really curious, and when I'm curious, I want to dig into something. So I picked it up last month. I think I just ordered it on, did I order it on Amazon? Yeah. And when I started reading it, I could not put it down. I finished it so quickly. And one thing that I realized from that book was, if you have ever suffered with depression and the feelings that come with not wanting to die, but also not wanting to be alive, then you will understand this book. It's very raw and blunt and hard to read certain parts of that book. And I know some people feel disgusted by this author's writing in particular. I think she just is very honest about, she's just very honest about the human experience, and she says things as they are, and she says things that we can relate to but may not want to admit to, you know. But that book, honestly, it was a strange, different book, but I related to it on quite a deep level, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and that has gone down now as one of the best books I've ever read, one of my favorite books of this year. And then right now I'm reading a book that was actually a Christmas gift for me from someone who came to visit me from, a friend that came to visit me from California for, we actually spent Christmas together, and she got me this book, and it's one that I've been wanting, it's one that I've had my eye on as well for like months. I don't know why I haven't picked it up sooner. But I guess this is another thing, like, I believe that books come into our lives at just the right time. Like, I believe that we read certain books at the right time. It's like that, it's like my favorite book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. That book, I read that book in an Airbnb a few years ago when I was at my lowest point, and it was exactly what I needed at the exact right time. And it was a book that I'd heard about for years and years, and that was only when I read it, and that was when I needed it. So I feel like books just come into our lives at the right time, and this book has helped me. I feel like it's helped me just finish this year on a really good note. I absolutely love this book. And the funny thing is, when people ask me what my favorite books are, I will always say fantasy for sure. Like, I love, because I do, that's a genre I love. Or like psychological thrillers. Like, I love a good psychological thriller, like The Silent Patient by, what's that guy's name? I don't remember, but the book is called The Silent Patient. Like, those kind of books, I eat those books up. But it's so interesting that the books that have been my favorite this year have been literary fiction and romance. And that is just, like, I would usually, like, kind of, what's the saying, turn my nose down at that and rather pick up a fantasy. But I'm so happy that I gave these books a chance and I stepped out of my comfort zone. So this book that I'm reading is called Divine Rivals, and it's a fantasy, but it's a lot heavier on the romance and the two main characters and like their developing love story. So the fantasy aspect is definitely there, but it's not as, it's like when you read a Sarah J book, the fantasy and the world building is, you know, front and center, and it's huge. There's obviously a lot of romance as well, but like there's a lot of world building, and like there's so much going on in terms of the fantasy part. This book is more subtle on the fantasy and it's a lot heavier on the romance, and I love this book. I've been reading this book like I am a teenager who has like her first, and it's embarrassing because I'm 35 years old, but I've been reading this book like I'm a teenager experiencing her very first crush, or like falling for somebody for the first time. I don't freaking know, because this book has just made me feel things. I adore her writing. I adore the story. The love story is just, it's an enemy to lovers trope, and I, oh my god, I love it. And I haven't even finished it yet. It's right here next to me, actually, and I'm probably going to finish it tonight. But I absolutely love it, and I highly recommend giving it a try. If you like romance, if you like fantasy, but if fantasy is intimidating for you, you don't have to worry. Like, it's, I feel like it's just so subtle in this book that it's not overpowering. But this is one of my favorite books. Like, I absolutely love this book. It's such a good story, and I'm just encouraging you to pick it up. But anyway, that is my little section about books. I was not planning on talking about books. Like I said, I know a lot of you guys do enjoy reading, and whenever I share something in my story, and I know a lot of you guys have listened to my podcast episodes, like, you're the ones that are watching my stories too. And whenever I share books on my stories, I always get amazing recommendations. I always get like responses to them. So there you go. If you have any books to recommend for me, I am always open to it. Another author that I discovered this year, and here I still am talking about books, is Stephanie Garber. I absolutely love her writing. I've read all her books except the last one in her Once Upon a Broken Heart series. That's on my bookshelf. I can see it from here, and I'm going to read that one soon, because her writing is amazing. She writes like, I don't know what the, like, it's fantasy, but it's like very fairy tale-esque, kind of magical, like, I don't know what you would call it. Like, I don't know what genre that is. It's fantasy, but it's, I love it. I recommend that as well. If you're wanting to get into fantasy, she's a good author to try. And then one more I wanted to say was, there's an author called Marissa Meyer. Her very first book that I picked up this year was called Gilded, and it was a duology, so it was two in the series. So it was Gilded and then Cursed, and those books as well, like, I absolutely love them, and I highly recommend them. Although, one thing I will say is that they are very dark. If you're not into dark fantasy, I wouldn't really recommend it. I am into really dark, weird stuff, so I loved it and I could not put them down, but just a warning in case you're not into dark stuff. Okay, that was enough book talk. Let's talk a little bit about some anxiety symptoms that I keep seeing coming up lately, especially because of the one-on-ones that I've been having. So in case you didn't know, in case you're like, what are you talking about one-on-ones? I recently opened up one-on-one texting sessions, and from next week I'm going to get back into phone calls as well, where I basically have a one-on-one chat with you guys. Like, if you're going through a lot of anxiety, if you're struggling and you're feeling really alone and you just want to talk to somebody who has been where you are, or you're looking to have some questions answered, because I get questions all the time in my DMs and through email as well, and it's very hard for me to get to all of them. I kind of stopped answering DMs a little while ago, and instead would do it through my stories or through podcast episodes, or like, I would create posts based on, if I saw, like, for example, I often, whenever I ask you guys to ask me a question on my Instagram stories, dizziness is something that always comes up multiple times. So usually if I see something more than once, I'll create like a new blog post on that. And I actually have a new blog post on dizziness if that is a big symptom for you, or I'll make a post on it. So, you know, maybe you have some questions that you want answered personally, and then that's what these sessions can do. Me there as support or answering questions, just talking to somebody who's been where you are. Like, I totally understand that that can definitely be helpful, which is why I opened up these sessions. So I've had quite a few one-on-one sessions over the past 2 months, and I just wanted to share some symptoms that I've been seeing the majority of the time. Like, these are symptoms that I see constantly with these one-on-one sessions, and the reason that I want to share them is because, I mean, if I'm seeing them all the time, then chances are you're struggling with these fears or these symptoms as well. And I know, and I really do, like, because I've gone through pretty much every symptom that there is, I know how helpful it can be, you know, to hear someone talk about them and realize, okay, I'm not crazy and I'm not going through this by myself. Somebody actually commented, I think it was on TikTok, somebody commented on TikTok the other day, and they said, and I find this amusing, they said, "You're lying. You haven't had every symptom. You're just saying that so that you can have a page where you're able to relate to everybody," or something like that. And it made me laugh. You know, comments like that would usually make me angry, but lately I find them really amusing. It's just so funny to me how someone can just be like, "You're lying," like, just, you know, kind of tell you that. But the reason it's so funny for me is because I wish I was lying. Like, I wish that I hadn't experienced every damn symptom that there is to experience. I mean, it's the whole reason that I started the community, right? Because I figured, like, surely it can't just be me who's dealt with every damn symptom under the sun. And since starting this community and, like, hearing from you guys, I've realized, wow, I'm actually not alone, which is obviously why I, you know, share these things, because I want us to have a place where we can relate to each other and where we can feel seen and heard and understood. So I just wanted to share that because I found that really funny. And I mean, it would be great if I was lying, because that would mean that I wouldn't have struggled so much. So the number one symptom that comes up, and fears as well, like, I'm talking about it as symptoms, but it's also fears, because when we have certain symptoms, and that leads to certain fears. So the number one is heart symptoms, chest pressure, chest pain, heart palpitations, your heart beating really hard, really fast, feeling your heartbeat in other parts of your body, just any kind of heart symptom is one that comes up constantly. And then obviously that leads to the fears of a hidden heart condition, a potential heart attack. We worry that our heart's just going to stop beating. Like, it's, you know, we're going to go to sleep, we're not going to wake up, or we're going to have a heart attack, or, you know, we've gone to the doctor for tests, but he or she is not picking up this hidden heart condition that is there, that our health anxiety tells us is just, like, lurking beneath the surface. This is completely normal when you deal with anxiety, when you deal with health anxiety. So I just wanted to let you guys know, like, I actually have a separate episode just talking about heart symptoms. So with these symptoms, I'm not going to go, like, super deep into each one, but I just wanted to let you know that if you're struggling with any heart symptoms, it's very, very, very common, and you are absolutely not alone. And then just keep in mind that with health anxiety, it will fixate to such an extent on a symptom that we will start to experience other symptoms that our brain will start to connect. Like, our brain will start to connect the dots, so to speak. So, you know, we'll Google symptoms of a heart attack, and I'm warning you, don't do it. It's not a good idea. Google is the worst. And let me promote my book here, not because I'm just trying to promote it, but because this is exactly why I wrote it. I wrote my A to Z to help you stay off of Google. Like, that that was the whole point of it. Like, I wanted you to, I know that with health anxiety that you are going to need to look up your symptoms. It's telling someone with health anxiety, don't Google, and then not giving them a backup option is just like, it's not going to happen. Like, I realize I tell you guys all the time, don't Google, but then I tell you, like, do this instead. If you have to Google, type your symptom and then add anxiety behind it, like heart symptoms, anxiety, and then Google if you absolutely have to. Or read my book, because that's the whole point of why I wrote my book, because I know that you're going to look stuff up, but I'm going to explain to you how anxiety is contributing, and I'm going to give you tips to move forward rather than tell you that you are definitely dying like Google does. But all that you need is to be worrying about your heart, for example. So you have, your heart is racing, you have a lot of heart palpitations. That little seed of fear is starting to be planted. You start to think, okay, I have a heart problem. What if I have a heart attack? You start fixating on it. It becomes an obsession. You Google, what are the symptoms of a heart attack? Google tells you, you know, neck pain, pain in your left arm. And I'm saying this here not to trigger you, because you probably know this already and you've Googled it. I know you have. But it tells you left arm pain, chest pressure, and like sweating, and you feel nauseous, and like whatever else. And then your brain is so, you are in so much fear, and now you are so fixated on potentially getting any of these other symptoms that you literally start feeling them and experiencing them. I have had all the symptoms. And by the way, heart symptoms are one of the number one reasons that people end up in the ER due to anxiety. Anxiety literally mimics this like all the symptoms of a heart attack. So I have many times gone into full-blown panic saying, and literally have heard myself saying out loud to somebody, I am having a heart attack. And I'm not trying to make light of it a lot, but I've honestly thought that I'm having a heart attack. Like, I'm having a heart attack. And as I'm saying that, it's reminding me of that scene in Get Him to the Greek with Jonah Hill. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but there's this one scene in that movie where he smokes. They give him what he thinks is just like a joint, like it's just weed, right? And he smokes it, and then they start telling him what he's just smoked. And he is starting to go into full-blown panic as they're just listing out all the ingredients that he's just smoked. And he's like, oh my God, oh my God. And then he's like, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. So as I said that now, I thought about that scene. But that scene is actually hilarious. I think you can just Google it even. Like Jonah Hill, Get Him to the Greek. Just search Jeffrey. Because they call the thing that he smoked a Jeffrey. Jeffrey scene. Anyway, I've totally gone off of track here, but there's been times that I've literally said, I'm having a heart attack, and I have truly believed it. And when we are feeling so much fear, and when we are telling our brain something, our brain is not going to sit and be like, let me sift through whether this really is a heart attack or not. Our brain is going to react based on how we're feeling and based on what we're telling it. And then that's when fight or flight kicks in, and then everything gets worse from there. So your brain believes what you tell it, okay? This is another thing that I want to mention, is that one thing that I hear with the one-on-ones all the time is, I'm so fed up that my brain keeps giving me these symptoms and that I just can't believe that I'm okay. And this is a great opportunity to try to change the way that you're thinking about your symptoms. And I know it's so much easier said than done, but take it from me, someone who was very angry for a long time when the symptoms came up. I was so frustrated. I was like, I fucking hate anxiety. I hate my symptoms. I hate my brain. I wish I had a different brain. Like that was my mentality. And then I started to learn how our brain is all, our brain's goal is to protect us and to keep us alive. So if our brain thinks that we are in danger, it's going to activate fight or flight. And the whole point of fight or flight is to help us get out of a life-threatening situation. But if we're not in a life-threatening situation and fight or flight is activated and we're feeling all these symptoms at their most intense, we're going to feel absolutely terrible and we're going to be angry because we're going to be like, why are you making me feel like this, brain? Like, I feel like I'm dying. Like, why are you doing this to me? But your brain is not doing anything to you. It's just trying to help you. Your brain thinks you're in danger. It's activating fight or flight. It thinks that it is helping you. So shifting the narrative to one of gratitude versus like being so angry all the time can really help you to see things in a different light. And trust me when I say that I realize how easy it is for me to sit here and say this as you're sitting there and like dealing with all these symptoms that feel like you're dying all the time. But keep in mind that I was where you are or where you may currently be. And me being angry with myself did not help me. It made everything worse. When I understood anxiety and understood that my brain's, the whole point of it is to keep me alive, is to keep us alive, then I was able to, you know, in those really bad moments when fight or flight was activated, I was able to talk be a little bit gentler with myself and be like, I know you're trying to talk to your brain, like literally talk to you. Like, I know you're trying to help me. And I know that you think that we are in danger, but we're actually safe. And that's when you start the deep breathing and the things that are going to, you know, really convince your brain and let your nervous system know that you are safe. So really, like, I know it's difficult, but try to understand or try to really realize that your brain is not trying to hurt you. It's not trying to make you unhappy. Our brain's goal is not even to make us happy. Our brain's entire goal is to keep us alive. So if we're feeling a certain way or we're saying, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack, immediately our brain is going to activate the fight or flight response because it thinks, oh my God, we're in danger and we it has to keep us safe. Okay. Another symptom that comes up all the time is twitching and just like tremors. And then all the symptoms that go along with that we tell ourselves must be ALS, Parkinson's, MS, any neurological disease, right? And I can talk a lot on this because my health anxiety spiral started with twitching. I was 17 and that's where it all started for me. With a twitch, I had a twitch in my wrist and like my fingers would just move by themselves. And I remember how nervous I felt when that happened, but I didn't really understand it yet. And then I just let the fear build and I let the thoughts take over and it just went downhill from there for me. And soon I had weakness. Like it actually felt like my hand was weak. I would walk around and I would try to pick up heavy things, which sounds like insanity. Like, I sound like a crazy person, but I would walk around and like pick up heavy things to try to prove to myself like, oh, I still can grip this. Maybe that means I don't have ALS or MS. And that was one of my biggest fears. And that is a fear that comes up all the time on the one-on-ones, is MS and ALS fears, like all the time, like shaking, like muscle twitching, muscle jerking, muscle spasms. And this is where I will talk about magnesium again, my savior supplement. Make sure that you are taking magnesium if you deal with a lot of twitching, or muscle pain or spasms, because it's often due to a magnesium deficiency. Also things like too much caffeine, alcohol, tensing up our muscles, something that we do when we're anxious is we tense up our muscles, sometimes most of the time without even realizing it. So just be consciously aware of releasing your muscles. But I just wanted to mention here just touch on it briefly that these symptoms are very common with anxiety and I see them all the time. And the fears that come with it, like the ALS, MS fears, are so common and I see them so frequently. And I wish that when I had been going through it years ago, I really truly wish that somebody had told me that it was common with anxiety, because I would have saved myself years of freaking mental torture. Another one is internal tremors. I hear people talk about this a lot, where I've spoken about shaking and trembling, like when your body is physically, when you can see it shaking, which is again a very common manifestation of anxiety. It's your body literally trying to shake off trauma, trying to like release excess adrenaline. But then something that I haven't really spoken about, and I have experienced this, but I've never really known how to describe it. Like I've just said, it feels like I'm shaking inside. It's like, it feels like, you know, when you have a fever and like you have those chills and you like, you're shaking, but like, it's not on the outside. It's like inside. It's like, it's internal tremors, like, right? That's how people describe it. This is something that I haven't really spoken about, but because I'm seeing it so frequently and because so many people are bringing it up to me, I think that I need to talk about it more. I think we should do a community post on this. And now I'm thinking out loud because I think I'm going to put something up on my story where we can do a community post on this. But I just wanted to bring this up in this episode, that if that's something that you have experienced where it feels like you're shaking internally, it's a very common thing that I see all the time. I haven't had the symptom for a really long time, so it's hard for me. Like, there's some symptoms that I haven't had for such a long time that I really have to kind of dig deep and really think back to how it made me feel, which is why I really like the community posts where you guys are able to share your experiences with me. So I think I'm definitely going to do a post on that soon. And I just wanted to let you know that it's very common with anxiety. I see it all the time. Another fear that comes up all the time is blood pressure fears, like just really worrying about blood pressure. Again, it's extremely common with health anxiety. If you have white coat syndrome, you've likely had it taken at the doctor and had it be sky high. That's exactly what white coat syndrome does. It drastically pushes up your blood pressure when it's taken in a medical setting. So just to let you know that that is very normal. Like, anxiety can seriously push up our blood pressure where it looks dangerously high, but then it can come down pretty quickly. So always do let your doctor know that you have anxiety before they take your blood pressure. And something that they might recommend is letting you take it at home, where you're in a calmer environment. Although the minute any blood pressure monitor comes near me, it's like my blood pressure just spikes, my heart rate spikes. But I feel like if you're doing it at home, it's going to be better than at the doctor. But just let your doctor know always that you have anxiety so that they're not taking it and then being like, oh wow, like this is crazy high. Because I've had mine taken before where it was so high, and then their response to how high it was scared me. So then they were like, okay, this is very high, so we're gonna wait a few minutes and then take it again. And during those few minutes where I was supposed to be deep breathing and staying calm, I was just getting more and more anxious, that by the time it was taken the second time and then the third time even, it was even higher. But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is what happens with white coat syndrome. My dad had never had high blood pressure in his life, but every time he had it taken at the doctor, it would be really high. Every time he had it taken at home, it would be normal. So just to remind you again, blood pressure fears are very common with anxiety, and do always let your doctor know that you have anxiety before having your blood pressure taken. Okay, so I'm not obviously touching on every single symptom that I've spoken to people about or that we talk about on the page. I'm just talking about some that I have seen come up over and over. And the last one that I wanted to mention here are head symptoms. Like, any kind of weird head sensations can send you into a panic. Head pressure in particular, where it feels like someone is squeezing your skull, or like there's like a band around your head that's just squeezing. It's a very uncomfortable feeling. This is one that comes up a lot as well. And I want to just let you know that, of course, if I'm talking about it, it is very common with anxiety, but often the head pressure starts in our shoulders and our neck with tension there. So really do pay attention to like what everything is connected. Like make that your mantra, like everything is connected, right? So if you're tensing up your shoulders, if you have a lot of tension in your neck, it's going to end up extending into your, like over your scalp, because we have like the muscles over your scalp, it's going to extend there too if we're not addressing it in our shoulders and neck for an extended period of time. And then it's going to cause that feeling of tightness, and it's uncomfortable enough when we have tightness in our shoulders and our neck, but now when it's in our head, it's a very strange feeling. And I remember when I was dealing with symptoms every single day, like when my GAD was at its peak, and I never wanted to go anywhere, because every time I went out, I would have a panic attack, like every single time. I would have panic attacks at home, but at home it was still like, maybe I could get away with not having one. Whereas every time I went out, I knew I was going to have a panic attack. It's like, it's something that I just anticipated. And I remember I would have that head pressure all the time, like all the time. And then when I would go out, it would feel even worse. And then my dizziness would get worse, and I would start to piece them together, or more likely my health anxiety would piece them together and tell me that I am having a stroke, or that there's something wrong with my brain, or that I have a brain tumor, and on it went. So just remember that everything is connected. So really try to relax your muscles. A lot of symptoms can actually be alleviated just through relaxing your muscles and deep breathing. Like those two things. Like so many symptoms can be alleviated, and you can find relief through relaxing your muscles. Like just being, firstly, being aware that you're even tensing them up so that you can release them. And then a daily deep breathing ritual, like deep breathing throughout your day, and especially during moments of panic, in and out through your nose only, alternate nostril breathing, straw breathing. I do have separate episodes where I go into this and I talk about it in my A to Z, but deep breathing, relaxing your muscles, magnesium, my favorite. These things, just these things, these seemingly small things can make such a big difference when you do them consistently. Okay, so I think I'm going to start wrapping up this episode. I feel like I can't talk anymore, to be honest with you. I feel like I'm just like going on and on. I wanted to just kind of, like I told you right in the beginning of this, I wanted to just kind of have a conversation with you about a few random things. Whenever I end these episodes, I realize that there's so many more things that I still wanted to say, but that's what other episodes are for, and I really do want to be consistent with them moving forward. I'm not making any promises, but I'm going to do my very best. Like my goal is to bring out an episode a week starting right now. So, I mean, let's see what happens. I want to bring back the individual symptom episodes as well. I want to bring back like the Q&A episodes, talking more about my own anxiety story with you guys. I know you guys enjoy those ones a lot. And then obviously I'll get ideas from you guys too, because I mean, you guys tell me what you want to hear. I always want to create episodes talking about things that you want to hear. Also like right at the beginning of this episode, when I kind of went on a ramble about boundary setting and emotions and things that I've dealt with this year, like I could do episodes on those as well. I've had some requests for that. I had some requests for an episode talking about insecurities. I actually still want to do an episode on that. So please just know that your feedback is truly always appreciated. One more thing that I want to say before I love and leave you until the new year, the next time we talk, it will be 2024. So one more thing I want to say is that the new year is a time usually when we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to set goals, like those new year's resolutions, right? Like I'm going to start going to the gym every day, and I'm going to stop drinking alcohol completely, and I'm not going to drink coffee anymore, and like whatever, I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. I mean, come on guys, like really? Like we do that to ourselves. Like we put all this pressure. We go from like we go from like not doing something at all to like now we expect ourselves to just do it like we're like a superhero and just like do it out of nowhere. And that's usually why we fail at it. And then we feel disappointed in ourselves for failing. And then we're angry at ourselves instead of being like, you know what? I actually set quite an intense and harsh goal for myself there. That was something I should have just done in steps, right? So while it's always fun and exciting to set goals, I want you to be realistic about them, and I want you to not put pressure on yourself. If you're living with anxiety, it's a lot, and the last thing that you need is to put more unnecessary pressure on yourself. And why? Why? Because we're told that we should be setting New Year's resolutions. That's not a good enough excuse, in my opinion. Well, not a good enough reason. Another thing is, like, if it's winter where you are in your part of the world, like where I am, where the days are short and dark and gloomy and cold, it's not a good time to be setting crazy goals. It's a time of rest and relaxation and like self-nurturing. The springtime is actually a time to set some more goals, when it's like a time of renewal and we're feeling more energized. So just keep that in mind. Like, just because it's a new year doesn't mean you have to do things a certain way. You can set your New Year's goals in the springtime. I just really wanted to say that here, because I think that the last thing that you need, especially if you're currently dealing with anxiety, is more pressure on yourself. Like, even the pressure, like, by the end of January, I'm going to be feeling like a different person. I'm not going to let my symptoms rule me. Like, don't set those kind of goals for yourself. Tell yourself that your goal is that you are going to try your best every single day. Your goal is that you're going to try and drink more water. You're going to try and be more mindful of your thoughts. You're going to try and be gentler with yourself. These are goals that are a lot more attainable and that make a lot more sense, and that are more about self-love versus like being harsh on ourselves, which is just completely unnecessary. So I would love to hear what your goals are. One of my goals is to sit down with you guys more often and do these freaking episodes. Like, that is a big goal for me, because every time I do sit down, I always feel so good afterwards. It feels like a therapy session for me to just get things out, and knowing that like people are listening. Like, I still can't, it's still so funny for me, like, there's actually people listening. Like, there's actually thousands of people that listen to my podcast now. That's crazy to me, because I don't know, that's just crazy to me. And I'm truly grateful. Like, I'm grateful that people want to listen to me, really. I'm grateful, and I'm grateful for you guys who have let me know that my episodes help you and that you're able to take something from them. Like, that, nothing makes me happier than that. I say this all the time. I don't know if I say this at the end of every episode. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't remember. But this community that we have cultivated together is my whole heart. Like, it's, this community is my heart. Like, I can't even, like, there's no other way that I can say it. I love being here every day. I love what I do. There's nothing else I want to do. This community, you guys, like, mean the world to me. So just know that I'm really, really grateful that you're here. I'm really grateful that you provide a platform for me to share my experience, in order to help other people, and also to help me, because I still have times where I struggle, and during those times you guys have my back and you're there for me, and I appreciate that more than I could ever say. So on that note, I'm going to wish you a very happy new year. Let's make 2024 a good one together. And I think that if we're together, we can. Do you agree? As long as we have each other's backs, as long as we're here together and we're, you know, doing this anxiety thing and like just the human experience, like, you don't need, like, whether you have anxiety or not, like, as a human, we struggle at times, and just knowing that there's a community of people who get it, who understand, who are willing to listen and support and just be there, like, that really means everything. So I'm looking forward to this new year with you guys, and I'm going to say I will talk to you soon, because I really do plan on sticking to my goal of doing these episodes more frequently. So I will talk to you soon. Happy New Year. I love you guys. And please be gentle with yourself. Okay? Promise? Okay. Bye. I'll talk to you later.